It's TechBiter Worldwide with Bill Blinn. The latest on programs and policies, helpful hints, and a bit of occasional nonsense. All in more or less plain English.
Podcast number 885 for the 7th of June, 2024. This week is all about artificial intelligence, starting with the many ways AI can be used to improve images and sometimes create scenes that do not exist in real life. There are also applications for old and new motion pictures. In short circuits, we'll move on to how AI might soon be used to help applications like Waze and Google Maps evaluate more conditions that affect your route. And is the last place we should ever expect to find AI on the desktop? Probably not. But is StarDock the last firm we'd ever expect to put it there? Let's ponder that. Probably never see a candy bar that claims to have artificial intelligence, but that's only because I don't buy candy bars, not because nobody has considered adding the term. Not everything with an AI label has any intelligence, artificial or otherwise. Well-implemented AI can be little short of astounding, but poorly implemented AI or fake AI is far beyond simply disappointing. AI seems to be everywhere, so now the challenge is to separate the good from the bad, the useful from the useless. One example, Google AI, a significant new and evolving feature in Pixel phones. The company calls it Gemini. Google introduced it in mid-2023, but users didn't start to see it until the end of the year. Some of the more powerful features require the very latest model phone, that's currently the Pixel 8 Pro. Google says that features will be available on less expensive Pixel 8 phones later this year, but apparently not on Pixel 7 devices or earlier. Gemini can do some remarkable things. I had just eaten breakfast and had an orange peel on a plate. I took a picture of it and asked Gemini to tell me what it was. The orange is a citrus fruit that is round and has a bright orange rind. The flesh of the orange is segmented and juicy, and it has a sweet and tart flavor. Oranges are a good source of vitamin C and other nutrients. That's what Gemini told me. I'm not sure whether I should be impressed because it identified a partial image of an orange peel as an orange, or disappointed because it didn't tell me that the orange had already been eaten. The description, though, is certainly accurate. If you see something that you'd like more information about, use Gemini to take a picture of it and then ask a question. I saw an unusual building in a Facebook post, but there wasn't any information about where the building was or what it is. I circled the image, and Gemini returned a website link with additional information that said the building is a church in North Carolina. Here's one more. I took a picture of a can of Headhunter IPA and asked where I could buy it. Gemini told me it was not programmed to provide that information. When I tried again and asked where the beer is brewed, Gemini said, "The can in the image is Fathead's Headhunter IPA, which is brewed in Middleburg Heights, Ohio, by Fathead's Brewery." Microsoft has similar functionality called Lens, and other AI systems can perform similar tasks, not to call them tricks. Google's most remarkable technology on phones is centered on photography, though. No photographer would ever use a phone for an event like a wedding, journalistic shots, or a big event, unless something happened to their real cameras. But a smartphone in the hands of an inexperienced photographer makes it possible for that person to capture surprisingly good images. Consider this. I took a photo of Hollycat with her favorite toy. When I took the photo, the phone was tilted a bit, and there was a pen in the lower right-hand corner. A slight bit of rotation fixed the tilt, and cropping improved the composition. But then I circled the pen and told the phone to remove it. The phone! All of that work was done on a phone and in just a few seconds. If we're thinking about AI and photography, though, Adobe is perhaps the key player. Simply for my own entertainment, I create daily images that celebrate special events that I find on Holiday's calendar website. You'll find a link to that website on the TechBiter Worldwide website. Tuesday, the 7th of April, 2024, was National Coffee Cake Day. The coffee cake image I found was vertical, but I use only horizontal images. I liked the image, but I would have been unable to use it previously because it was vertical, not horizontal. With Adobe Photoshop's new AI features, I was able to extend the image a bit on the left, considerably on the right. The left extension filled in part of a wall, extended a napkin and a fork, and completed a table. The process on the right was more complicated, finishing the plate, table, and a window, but it also added an object on the table. I didn't really want the object, so an additional content-aware AI function removed it. I needed only to add the descriptive text and a date. But even Adobe isn't perfect, at least not yet. I provided both Microsoft Image Creator and Adobe Photoshop's beta, which includes Firefly, with the same text prompt to use in creating an image. My text prompt said, "Long hair, striped orange cat sitting like a human on a highly polished mahogany table and playing poker in front of a fireplace." To say that Adobe's results in this case were shockingly disappointing is an understatement. Normally, it would be much, much better. One of the images was more of a cartoon. The other three weren't much better. One of the cats was sitting at a table, not on it. Two of the cats were on a table, but only one had a fireplace in the background, and it was only part of a fireplace. Microsoft's results were far better, but all of the cats were sitting in chairs instead of on the table. Clearly, they were all artistic renderings, but the fur, eyes, paws, and backgrounds, with a fireplace, were surprisingly realistic. Frighteningly realistic, truth be told. These are the kinds of images that far too many people seem to think are realistic and pass them off as actual photographs of real cats. There is simply so much possibility, so much temptation for misuse here. Political disinformation will be big later this year. And that's not good. But AI is also being used for motion pictures, old and new. Computer graphics have made a great leap forward. In one of the new Doctor Who episodes, starring Shruti Gatwa as the Doctor, some of the characters are babies who appear to be speaking. But some of the most remarkable AI effects are being used to enhance 100-year-old films. Writing in Wired, Matt Simon describes how a 12-minute film from the 14th of April 1906 showing Market Street in San Francisco has been improved using AI. You can see both the original and the updated version on YouTube, and I provided links to both. Even the sound has been enhanced. And you may notice that San Francisco drivers were even worse in 1906 than they are today. If you are familiar with San Francisco's history, you'll know that an earthquake and fire destroyed much of the city just 4 days after that film was made. Those who remember the low-quality images from the moon in the 1960s and 1970s will marvel at enhanced videos. For example, the lunar rover being operated on the moon in 1972. And yes, there's a link to that on the TechBiter Worldwide website. The article asks the obvious question, is this honest and ethical? Colorization of old black and white films has been controversial since it began, and upsampling low-resolution images and motion pictures adds information that simply was not there. But simply scanning old films to digital video without making any intentional changes subtly modifies the original, too. It would be wrong to use digital enhancements to prove something happened or didn't happen, but the technology can make these old images more accessible to a modern audience, and I see nothing wrong with that, as long as the originals are also preserved. We'll take a look at some of the other current and upcoming AI offerings in Short Circuits. If you find these podcasts useful, and I hope you do, might you consider a donation? There are no ads here, and support from listeners is the sole source of income. It's easy. Just visit the website and click the donate button near the top of any page. You can make a one-time donation or schedule a repeating donation every month. I thank you. And so does the cat. In short circuits, navigation tools such as Waze do a good job most of the time. Sometimes they recognize problems on the intended route and direct you around it, but they could be better if they took additional factors into account. The first time Waze tried to steer me around a problem, I thought it had gone crazy. "Why does it want me to go that way?" I said. "This way is more direct." So I went this way, and a mile or so later, traffic slowed, then stopped because of a crash. Waze also seems to learn. Even when I know exactly how to get where I'm going, I usually activate it so that it'll warn me about problems along the route. Sometimes my way is not the Waze way, though. Often when I've gone my own way two or three times, Waze recognizes my preference and defaults to that instead of recalculating. Google owns Waze, and I wonder how much longer it will be offered. Presumably, somebody at Google wonders why they're offering two apps that perform essentially the same function, Waze and Google Maps. Gemini could fundamentally change the way Google Maps works by considering weather, big events taking place in the area, and other factors that would have a bearing on the time required to make a trip. It should also be possible for users to give the system more explicit commands with information about additional stops along the way and specific routes to take or avoid. Pixel 8 Pro users can call on Gemini Nano to compose answers to text messages. I haven't given that a try yet because I'm inclined not to use AI to write for me. Theoretically, I could speak a response to a message and then tell Nano to shorten it or make it more formal. Currently, it works only in Google Messages using Google's keyboard, which is called Gboard, not the Facebook Messenger, and only with Pixel 8 Pro phones. It is expected to be made available on all Pixel 8 phones in coming months. To activate this on a Pixel 8 Pro, go to Settings, About Phone, then scroll down to the bottom of the list where the software build number is shown. The secret handshake, if you haven't previously enabled developer mode, involves tapping the build number 7 times, then entering your phone's PIN. Once you've done that, navigate to Settings, System, Developer Options, and scroll down to AI Core Settings. Tap that and make sure the Enable AI Core Persistent toggle is on. And if you've already set developer mode, you don't have to go through that business of tapping the build number 7 times. The Recorder app has been able to provide a transcript of recorded conversations for a while, but now there's a new Summarize button that, as the name suggests, summarizes the conversation. Because it's a nano function, the processing happens on your phone, so the audio and text are not passed to a cloud-based function. And although this is not related in any way to maps, it does seem that this is a good place to talk about it, and it's amusing. And sort of useful. QR codes can be boring, but a special QR code generator can use AI to create one with some custom art. Check out one on the TechBiter Worldwide website. Give it a text prompt like New York City skyline at sunset, or upload an image. Then fill in a few details to guide the process in your quest for a perfect QR code. Wait a minute or so, and you will have a non-boring QR code. The one you'll see on the TechBiter Worldwide website is a link to the TechBiter Worldwide main page. So, what's the last place you'd expect to see AI? If you mentioned the desktop, that's probably not a good choice. It certainly isn't the last place I would expect to find AI. In fact, it's a perfectly logical place given Microsoft's push to place AI everywhere. But it's not Microsoft that's putting AI on the desktop. It's Stardock. As I mentioned last December, I thought Stardock had been a one-hit wonder 30 years ago, but then I found Window Blinds 11, an updated version of the application offered back then. Stardock combines several utilities in a package called Object Desktop for $40 a year. In May, the company added Stardock GPT, which is now in beta, to Object Desktop. It uses OpenAI's service to bring AI models to the desktop and offers GPT 3.5 Turbo, GPT 4, and GPT 4 Turbo. Submissions or queries to OpenAI do incur a cost, and that's tracked by tokens. The multiplier for GPT 3.5 Turbo is 1, 2.5 for GPT 4 Turbo, and 5 for GPT 4. Stardock says most users will find GPT 3.5 Turbo adequate for most uses. Those who sign up for Stardock GPT at no additional fee will receive 10,000 tokens per month, so a question that costs 500 tokens on GPT 3.5 Turbo would cost 1,250 tokens on GPT 4 Turbo and 2,500 tokens on GPT 4. Additional tokens will be available for purchase. The current advertised price, subject to change, of course, is $5 for 50,000 tokens. Stardock is evaluating token usage during the beta period and plans to update the weightings to better reflect usage of the API. Tokens are non-refundable, and users must have at least 2,000 tokens available to submit a question because both the prompt and the answer do incur token usage. I asked the system to explain Schrödinger's cat. Using GPT 3.5 Turbo, the interaction cost only a few hundred tokens, and you'll see it on the TechBiter Worldwide website. Stardock says that when a prompt or query is submitted to any of the various models using desktop GPT, Stardock will track the use of tokens that are linked to the account. The data that is submitted to OpenAI does pass through Stardock's servers to track token usage, but the prompt and the answer are encrypted, and Stardock does not log or retain any information that has been submitted. If you'd like more information or to download the Stardock GPT beta, take a look at Stardock's website. You'll find a link on the TechBiter Worldwide website, www.techbiter.com. Thanks for listening to TechBiter Worldwide. I'm Bill Blinn. There's more on the website, techbiter.com, and if you have a question or a comment, use the contact link you'll find there. Stop by again next week for another session.